In another world, they came together over the phone lines. It was momentous. It's what you've been waiting for. Two men, one way. Bart Cop, Tommy Mac. I have no idea what happens next.
Hey, Bart, damn you. We're doing it. Here we are again. What's going on?
Hey, same old buddy. I'm glad August is gone. Someday I'll be able to tell you the story about August, but I can't tell you the August story yet.
Okay, well, that's not, anything that we should be concerned about because you're really fucking vague. But that's okay. That's what we love about you, Bart. But, in the rest of the civilized world, August is pretty much a month off. I mean, literally, democratic nations in Europe, they basically take August off. I mean, and maybe that's why Bush usually takes it off. Maybe he's more European than you and I.
Except that crazy bastard goes to Texas to cut brush when it's 116. That's our president.
Yeah, but remember when Terry Schiavo's brain had liquefied?
Yep.
Well, what happens if Terry Schiavo went down to Texas ranch in 116-degree weather? Then she gets happy bubbles in her brain because it's boiling.
Or we could just make her president and have fewer dead soldiers.
Well, that's kind of where I was going. That maybe he goes down there because his brains are liquefied and he likes the happy bubbles inside of his skull.
I get it.
That went nowhere, did it? That's okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, Bart and I decided to get together. Because we're going to have a meeting of the minds. Now, for a long time, Bart's been wanting someone to debate him. Well, now is not the time. The problem is that Bart and I agree on almost everything. But there's no one that will play devil's advocate. Because sometimes some of your readers, Bart, they chime in and they just go nuts on you for weirdness reasons. And then it just gets into two rhesus monkeys flinging poo at each other without any communication. So what we're going to have here tonight is true communication. Maybe a little devil's advocate. Just something to get the points across. You got it?
Well, yeah, but it'd be easier if you weren't such a retard. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's where we're not going. I'm sorry.
You know something? I'm not a retard. I've never tarded before. I can't redo something I've never done. Okay. You into this, Bart?
I'm here, dude.
All right. So, I'm going to bring up some subjects that have caused people to go, huh? And we're going to figure out where you stand, where I stand, and see what we can do with that.
I'm so misunderstood.
I'm telling you, no one can stand under you. Trust me, I've seen you. You don't want to stand under you. Oh, that was a joke on words. Sorry. Okay, first and foremost, let's talk about the death penalty.
Cool.
I mean, if you're going to start off, you got to start off with something nice, dark, and morbid just to let people know where it's going to go from there. So, Bart, in a nutshell, how do you feel about the death penalty?
As a rule, against it, but I can think of a few of the heinous crimes. The big problem with the death penalty is you get some eager DA, say you got a dead kid, whatever. Dad goes crazy, gets drunk. He shakes a kid or he beats one of the kids up. Bad things happen. The kid dies. DA starts screaming, oh, runaway liberalism. We got to execute this guy. I mean, I don't know in that case. I mean, I'm not pro killing kids unless they're really loud on a plane. But it just seems like a death penalty ought to be reserved for a political assassination. If you change the course of history, you might have to pay that price. Or if some guy goes just ape shit in some girl's dorm, maybe a Ted Bundy with... I can see circumstances, but it's so easily abused that in a room full of intellectuals, I might be talked into giving up my support.
Well, luckily, you'll never be in that.
Yeah, I'm a Democrat.
Yeah. Well, okay. I like what you just said, but do you believe we have a perfect justice system?
No.
Okay. We don't need to go any further. We know for a fact that our justice system makes mistakes. Now, let's leave off all the old arguments of it's not a deterrent. People are still killing other people. So it's not like, oh, I don't want to do this because I might get killed. No, not a deterrent. We actually know that it's much, much more expensive to put someone on death row and do the whole works. And, for some of these motherfuckers, it's way too easy for them. I'd rather them live in a cell with Bubba for the rest of their infested life than to get an easy way out. But going back to my argument, if we don't have a perfect justice system, then we cannot, should not, have a punishment that we cannot take back. Now, admittedly, if you put some guy in jail for 17 years, you can't take that back. But at least he's not dead. So you can't have the death penalty when you don't have a perfect justice system. Now, you mentioned some examples of like, oh, the guy who's been proven to... No, you can't do it. You either have none or you let it go rampant. Especially because, recently, this was in the newspapers, scientific proof pretty much that we finally executed an innocent man. Did you read about that?
No, but I was just going to say, they always mention how there's never been any proof, and I'm thinking, well, get your hands out of my pants. Of course you've killed innocent men. That's like growing up, I was reading the comic books. They always said, there's no such thing as a perfect crime. Well, duh. I'll bet you can go to any major city in the United States and go to the homicide division and ask for their perfect record that no one ever got away. I mean, please. Of course there's a perfect crime, and of course the system's not perfect. So you know, guarantee there's been innocent people executed, but he is gone. If we give the family $1.5 million, bygones, keeps the myth alive.
Well, listen to this. Recently, and I don't know if a lot of people saw this, but it finally came out. And guess what state it was in?
Oklahoma.
No, Texas.
Ah.
That's right. Here's the scoop. A guy named Cameron T. Willingham was executed February 17, 2004, because his house burned down and killed his three kids. He was in it, but he escaped. Well, the arson experts at the time, using the science they had at the time, which was like in 96 or something, said, well, as you can see from these marks on this wooden floor, this is a sign an accelerant was used. If there was an accelerant, that means it was started on purpose. That means this man is guilty of killing his kids. He should be killed himself. Good logic there. Now, first off, I like to point out that arson experts, you know, it's the only scientific testimony that can send someone to death row when the expert is nothing more than a high school diploma and is taught on the job. It's not forensic science. It's not medical doctors. It's not even physics. It's not nothing. It's some guy who kind of learned from the guy who taught him on the way. And their testimony is good enough to send someone to death? Well, guess what happened in the last 10 years? We used a little bit more science, and we realized that these marks are actually pretty common when fires happen on that substance because we have better things to tell. That's what science does. We learn. And so basically, we now know, like the man said, I did not start the fire. I did not kill my kids. But too late. He's dead. An innocent man has been killed. How do you feel about that?
I think there may be two greater examples.
Please.
In Oklahoma City, I think it was, and this is the last few years, maybe 2002, they decided that the coroner had been making shit up. This lady coroner, who had testified in maybe 200 trials, she just didn't do the work. She'd see a bullet hole and say, must have come from here, must have been that guy. And they'd say, well, there's your proof, Your Honor. The DNA matches, et cetera, et cetera. And so I don't know, logically or mathematically, someone was executed over that because she was the coroner for 10, 12, 15 years. And turns out she was just bogus. And even worse than those two is the eyewitness. You know, as horrible a crime as rape is, I don't have any examples, but there have been examples where a woman was raped and she would misidentify the guy. A lot of those stories we hear about a guy getting out of prison after 20 years, as a rule, it was a black guy going in for raping a white girl. And then when DNA came along, Barry Sheck and his outfit ran over there, proved that wasn't his semen, so he wasn't there, at least not involved in the rape, and they've had to let these men out. But what's worse? I mean, maybe I watch too much CSI, but what is worse than an eyewitness to a crime?
You're absolutely right. So I think we can agree that innocent people have been put to death.
I agree.
Now, what is a better option for a society? That bad people who are truly bad have to stay in prison for the rest of their life with no hope of parole, or we have a system that gives, you know, people that whole revenge satisfaction, which is, by the way, unchristian, but we, well, occasionally get it wrong and we kill a few innocent people, which is better for society?
Probably what we're going to have to end up doing, though, is having some kind of special circumstances clause in there because, you know, if a guy's 21 and he's on death row and can never get out and can never be executed, what's to prevent him from murdering every guard he can get his hands on? I mean, at some point, there ought to be a special circumstance of something because...
See, there are places we can put them. And each time he does that, it gets into a darker, smaller, grubbier place. Yeah.
With a taller, fatter roommate.
And he has to listen to Toby Keith over and over again. Oh, I didn't go there. Now, I think right now, you are still on the side that there should be an exception for extreme cases. I disagree with you. I think, once again, you have to flat out draw the line on this one. And I think we have the technology and the smarts to actually do something about the people you refer to, but we don't because we are lazy. And I think that's a problem. I think if we just apply ourselves, those people won't do that.
Well, hey, I got another one for you, a little facet here. A lot of times you see these kids in prison. You got some, say, 16, 17-year-old kid in prison, and you asked him, why are you here? And he said, well, I had to kill a guy. And he said, why? Well, he stepped on my shoe. And it's like, dude, you killed a guy. You're in prison now because the guy stepped on you. Or, you know, he had the wrong colors on, so we had to kill him. Or Bobby wanted in the gang, so we told him to get in the gang. You had to kill three people. It's just, for life to be so thrown away is kind of boggling. And then when you tell the guy, if you do that, we're going to execute you, it's like, it's all cool. I don't care. You know,
you're kind of proving my point a bit here.
I often stumble in the dark.
Well, first off, it's not a deterrent. And there's going to be people like that because they're idiots.
Without a doubt.
Okay, and they're taught wrong, and they're in a bad environment, or whatever the reason they turn that much of a dipshit. What happens is that we got to take them out of the society. We got to get Clockwork Orange on their ass. All right?
Yeah.
And figure something out. But we can't kill them. We can't, because if we still keep that on the books, that someone can be killed by the state, then one, there will always be an accident.
Sure.
And you can't have that. It's got to be zero tolerance for accidents. Now, here's a really funny part about this. You know, I'm pro-choice, and I know you are too. How many times have you gone up to one of these pro-lifers? Totally pro-life. I'm so damn pro-life. And then you ask them about the death penalty, and they're okay with it.
That in the war.
Yeah, leave the war out because that's a yike. No, but just someone who says, I'm pro-life. I'm so pro-life. Oh, we got to save the fetus. Oh, how do you feel about the death penalty? Some people need to die. It's like, it's such hypocrisy. And I want everyone listening to this on Bar Cop Radio, next time you get into it with a pro-lifer, ask them about the death penalty and just call their ass on it. Can we do that? I know you could. All right, ready for the next one, Bart?
Yes. Hey, we didn't do a shot either.
Let's just do that right now. So, Bart, what are you drinking?
I got a little of the cheap Chinaco tonight.
Is there any such thing as cheap Chinaco?
When you compare it to what we're going to drink in Vegas next week, this is the cheap Chinaco.
I'm drinking, like, Jim Beam. So I'm slumming it tonight. All right, here we go. Ready?
Here you go. Mine, too, is good.
Yeah. Zambata zakata wataya. George Takei is gay. Oh, I'm sorry. I say things like that when I do shots. Anyway.
I must say one thing. Are you too young to remember the original Star Trek?
Well, I watched it all the time.
Have you heard about the new Star Trek makeover?
Well, there's about to be a movie.
No. What they're doing, they went back and got the original starting in 1966, and they've...
Oh, they're going to rebroadcast all the episodes but update the special effects.
Yes. I think that'll be interesting.
I hate that shit.
You hate the cheap effects or the upgrade?
You know what I'm going to do? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get in my car, and I'm going to drive up Pacific Coast Highway, which is a beautiful road by the mountains and the sea, and it's twisty, and it's wonderful, and the temperature is always just right, and I'll pass...
That's the Mel Gibson Highway.
I'll pass the wineries, and I'll go all the way up the coast of California to Marin County, and I'm going to walk up to a house on Skywalker Ranch, and I'm going to knock on the door, and George Lucas is going to open it, and I'm going to say, Mr. Lucas? He'll go,
yeah?
Mr. George Lucas?
Yeah?
And I'm going to kick him in the fuck, because he's the bastard who said, oh, I want to go back and add some CGI and add some, you know, effects and all, you know. Damn you, Lucas. Damn you for starting this. Old sci-fi rocks because it's old sci-fi. The day the Earth stood still, if they got rid of the guy in the horrible little foam suit and replaced him with CGI, I would go up to Marin County and kick George Lucas in the fuck.
Well, you know, it's my understanding in some of the old Godzilla shows, you can actually see the board that's holding up the Godzilla doll. Now, if it's something like that, I say, yeah, leave that in. If it's so crazy, it's campy. But remember when the Star Trek thing started? Now, I'm not in favor of replacing. You know, it's the addition to that I like. I mean, if they're going to replace it, I'd say no. But if they're going to add to it, then that's fine. Because it's like if you're married 40 years and your wife comes home, wants to put on a different color wig tonight. I mean, who's going to say no to that?
I think that's a bit of a stretch, Bart, but that's okay. That's what we're doing here. We have different opinions.
Cool.
All right. You want to get back to this?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, here we go. So, Bart, here's a subject that's near and dear to your heart, and I just want to make sure everyone out in Bart Cop land understands what your position is, and I want to see if it's just like mine. Are you ready?
Ready. There ain't nothing you can throw at me I ain't ready for.
There you go, except if I threw a bag of poo at you. Are you ready for that?
Not ready for that.
See? Now, what we're going to talk about is something that you talk about all the time, or you used to, but you don't anymore. Guns.
I like guns.
Okay. I figured that much out. Now...
No, wait. I guess between 0 and 10, you know, I mean, if David Koresh was a 10, I might be a 3, so it's not like I'm a gun nut, but go ahead.
Well, that's just it. Let me tell you my opinion on guns and see if you agree with me or not.
And you're from Texas.
I'm from Texas. What the hell? I live in California.
And I'm an Okie, so we're talking guns, the Texan and the Okie.
Yeah, but I escaped and I moved to California, so it works out. Okay, here's my views. It's too late. We can't ban guns. I don't want a gun. I think they're bad. But you know what? They're there. And there's millions of them. Now, I think we should totally allow handguns, rifles, and shotguns. The first for protection, the other two for sport. There is absolutely no reason in the world for you to have an AK-47 or something that came off the mount on a helicopter. Okay, there is no reason, and there's no excuse, and if you say there is, and all you say, the Second Amendment gave me the right to bear arms and arm bears, and if I want a howitzer, I can't. No, you can't have a howitzer.
I can tell you what the devil's advocate argument to that is. It's, don't handcuff me when I'm trying to protect my family. I don't agree with that, but I'm just saying that's what it is. If I live in, a part of Arizona where there's just wild dogs and cheetahs and jackals and hyenas and mountain lions everywhere, and there may come a time when I need to get off 40 shots. I mean, that's the argument, that what if, you know, if you got a hand, if you say handguns are legal and I got a Glock that holds 14, that's the baby to the longtime readers. But, you know, if there's 15 guys need dying, hey, that means I got to reload. So I'm just saying that's the rationale. But yeah, if there's 15 guys with guns coming at you, more guns in one hand is not going to help you.
True.
So I agree with you.
Okay, Bart, yeah, about to say, what you just gave me as an example was quite fun. Originally, most gun nuts I talk to always talk about if we have to fight the government eventually. It's
like, dude, we may have
government
to.
Has. The government has more guns than you, and they got better stuff, okay? You're not going to win. No matter how much of an arsenal you have, you're not going to win. And in your case, Bart, when there's 15 mofos coming straight at you, even if you have one, you know, AK-47, you're still not going to win.
Sure.
At that point, that whole fight or flight thing, flight would be the part that will help your family evolve at that point. So, now, listen to this. I've said, look, you can have handguns and you can have shotguns, which can take out several people at a time, unless you pepper them in the face like our vice president. And you can have rifles, because that's sport. You can use all these to defend yourself. You know, they're there. But here's the thing. Every gun that's legal should be registered. How do you feel about that?
The first thing you said was, we're stuck with guns, so what can we do? And right now, there are, I would guess, wild guess, 100 million unregistered guns in the United States. So what you're proposing, I think, is unenforceable. If you say, everybody with an unregistered gun, please go to the courthouse between now and Friday and register it, that ain't going to happen. So
why not?
Well, a little sidebar. I think a lot of times in a debate, you know, like say me and you were talking guns, and just for the sake of argument, let's say you're against guns. An argument I hear a lot is, wouldn't the world be safer if there were no guns? It's like, well, no, that's a fairyland debate. We don't live in fairyland. We live in America.
It is.
Yeah, so the point is,
I agree with you 100%.
We can only deal with what we have in our face to deal with. So, you know, these people write, don't you think it would be better if all people were nice to their grandmothers? Well, sure I do. But that's not where we are.
Well, here's what's up. I think a gun should be a privilege, not a right, to an extent, okay?
Like a driver's license.
Exactly, okay? You know, people say cars kill more people than guns. I go, yeah, well, every car is registered, and you have to take a training course to use it. You have a problem with that?
You don't have to register a pack of cigarettes. They kill 400,000 a year.
Yeah, and luckily so, because you're stupid enough to smoke, right on. That's natural selection, Bart. Come on. Big difference. Big difference. Wouldn't it be better if we could start from scratch and anyone can get a handgun or a rifle or a shotgun. Anyone can. Easily. In fact, you're encouraged to. But you have to take a course and you have to register every single one. Wouldn't that be better than what we got now?
Sure.
Now, with that, would it be an extraordinarily difficult Apollo mission type thing to do eventually? Yeah. But it would be a better thing.
It would save lives.
With that, that's what I think you and I then just now agreed, that it would be better, but highly, highly difficult. Maybe not possible in our lifetime, but would be better, right?
Yes. But hey, what is your take on the video game effect, if any, on children and violence and guns and desensitization to blood and guns and violence and all that?
Elvis? No, I'm thinking Elvis. What do you think about that vile young man gyrating his hips on TV and how it's corrupting all of our youth? Or how do you feel about pornography and what it is, how what it's doing to women? And how do you feel about MTV just telling people that wearing eyeliner is okay? You know, it's the next level.
Perhaps a better question is, how dare they put the word damn in Gone with the Wind? Can you believe such filth that Hollywood is dumping on our children?
You know what?
It changes as the decades go by.
I'm personally fucked up because I heard damn.
I started you on the wrong path.
Hey, by the way, like that old joke, what did the fish say when it swam into a concrete wall?
Damn.
Thank you, Be Here All Week, which ended a few hours ago. Okay, so that's cool. People out there, that's the scoop on guns. Now, Bart, let's take it up to the next level.
Here we go.
This is one you've been waiting for all night.
Oh, Jesus.
Actually, it's not. It's the second one to the one you've been waiting for all night.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we have to get into it. Because
okay.
I love you, Bart. Your page is great. You and I are very good friends. And we agree on so much. And I don't think you're getting your point across to your readers. So I've got to help you define it a bit. And then maybe they can understand, okay?
Okay.
Let's talk about torture.
Cool.
Yeah, that's right. I'm telling you.
Did you hear Paris Hilton got arrested yesterday? They put her in handcuffs, I understand.
Yeah, but she started doing a bondage video at that point. That was awesome. All right, so hey, let's talk about torture for a few seconds. Now,
torture is almost always wrong. It is wrong 99.99 times.
Okay. You know what? I knew you would say that. And I think the problem people have is that you are right, but you're saying it wrong. How's that?
Well, I know I'm right, but I also understand people's reaction to torture is always wrong, always. End of sentence, period. No more discussion. I mean, I understand. I see both sides, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, see, that's just it. I'm prepared for this. You know, some people say it should never be allowed. And I think your issue is that you hold that never is a strong word. You can't ever say never, blah, blah, blah. That's, you know.
Exactly.
You've written on the page that it's a terrible thing. But there might be that, you know, one in a million chance that using it might be better than the consequences of not using it. Is that about right?
Well, sure. I mean, I think a lot of times people get bogged down into the details, but if you pull the microscope back a little bit and look at the situation, that wouldn't everybody agree that murder is worse than torture? I mean, I could have tortured you and, well, I think I have.
Yes.
But I could have tortured you in, say, 1985, and here 21 years later, mean you could sit down and have a drink if you were a forgiving guy, and et cetera, et cetera. But had I killed you in 85, you know, that wouldn't happen. So I think we must agree that murder is worse than torture. And wouldn't everybody listen to this agree that murder, I mean, justifiable homicide is not something I made up. It's a legal thing that existed long before I was born. So Justice Department, the justice system decided that justifiable homicide was a legitimate thing, then I don't see how a step down to justifiable torture. I mean, yes, torture is wrong, but we're talking about in the craziest of circumstances. I mean, murder is always wrong, but, you know, if a masked man's coming through your daughter's window at night and you own a gun, I mean, murder is the right thing to do in that context. When they say, should you murder the guy next door? No. Should you murder the guy next door when he's got a mask and a knife coming through your daughter's window? Well, yeah, you had to. But so the word never is the only thing that kind of queers the equation.
Okay. You know what? That's really good. I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's what I thought you meant all along. Now, take a look at what we've been doing recently as a country, as policy. Do you think any of the torture we've done, you know, in the last few years to, quote, enemy combatants would qualify for your exception, your one in a million, we got to do it scenario?
It's hard to say, because we're dealing with worldwide life and death and extreme secrecy. So if you're asking, is it possible? Sure. It's an impossible thing to reach.
Okay. I like where you're going, but now you're using, basically the rules of percentage in math, and you're making a good point to an extent, because it can be applied to just about everything that happens to anyone at any time.
The bigger point, though, that, is torture wrong? Sure. Kicking grandma down the steps is wrong. Shooting a cop is a thousand things that are very, very wrong that nobody would ever, ever do, but under the wildest of circumstances ever, possibly dumb example, in Godfather 1, Michael Corleone shot a police captain. He murdered him right there in the middle of dinner. Now, it was obviously the wrong thing to do, but it saved his father's life, no doubt. The cop he shot pulled the detectives off of the hospital so the bad guys could come in and murder his dad. In the situation Michael was in, the only possible avenue he had, for sure,
was... really, really think you're treading on a really bad analogy there, man. I truly do.
Only in the respect that his only option to save his father's life was to shoot the crooked cop. Now, again, if the legitimate cop was coming to arrest him, now that's murder. But a crooked cop, a cop that's on the take, a cop that got mixed up in the mob, got what was coming to him, our readers might like a story like that.
I appreciate the color, and I appreciate jumping off the path there. That's a really nice one. Man, who doesn't like going towards the Godfather for whatever point they're trying to make? But I want to get back to this.
We're back.
Because I gathered from a lot of your postings on your page, and you use the example of that one in a million time where it's really, really worth it. Because, I mean, there's so many experts that will state and go have been on the record saying that the information you get after torture, you don't know if it's good or bad. You really don't. Period. Because, to be honest, if you torture me, I'll tell you anything. I will. And most people will. That's why it's called torture. If you have the information, you'll tell it. If you don't, you make it up. And the odds are that you don't, because it's easier to find people who don't have the information than do, and we catch more of those. So, recently, our country has really risen to the top of the heap on, well, not top of the heap, but certainly top of the media heap of torturing countries. So, do you think that anything we possibly could have gotten from our enemy combatants that we've held for 4 years truly rose to the occasion we should have been torturing them?
Boy, I hate to say it's possible.
Okay. You know what? I see where we are now. Once again, you hate to use the word never because you always like to use the word possible. Now, I may have something to help here because I knew you'd get here. All right?
Cool.
Do you think torture should ever be the policy written? That's the thing here. Written policy of any government. Because, here's what I'm asking. We agree that torture as an act itself is wrong and should not happen. It certainly should never be a policy of our or any government. However, there may be times when an individual, whether they're military, police, or whatever, or some guy who's protecting his daughter's virginity from a gunman, when they're placed in a situation, extraordinary situation, where they have to make a momentous decision that if they torture that individual, that might hopefully save the day. Now, with that in mind, that's always going to happen. Unfortunately, we're dealing with human beings, and these are some sick motherfuckers. To say torture will never happen is a fallacy. But I think we should say that torture should never be sponsored by any government. With that, and knowing that it has to rise to the occasion of, hey, I'm a sergeant in this army, I really know that this person in front of me has information that may save blank amount of people, I'm going to make the decision, I will torture him to get the information, hopefully it leads to something good. But then now I've broken the law and I am going to be responsible. Shouldn't that happen? Shouldn't it be up to a jury later on during sentencing phases? You know what? What he did was wrong. We all agree it's wrong. But in light of the circumstances, we're going to really be light on him, or we're going to let him go. But shouldn't that be a jury to decide? Shouldn't the government say, we cannot torture? And if it does happen, you broke the law. But if it's something that really did save the day, chances are there's no jury that will convict you. But that's the American way, is that it is against the law, but we have a system to deal with it. Shouldn't that be the way? Because then what you got, Bart, is you got the ability to say torture should never be right by any government or any person. Like, murdering's not right. But, you know, the jury thought, like your homicide thing, justified homicide, they said, you know what? The jury of my peers said, I saved Manhattan.
Well, yeah, and it may not ever come to that.
Or, more importantly, I saved two GIs in a Humvee.
A trick I use when I'm trying to decide a big issue is to break it down into a smaller issue.
Okay.
I guess most people remember...
By the way, I've been drinking a lot more shots. Just want to go there.
Oh, cool. I think most people remember OJ and that whole business.
Who?
Let's change the facts just a little bit. Let's say that his ex-wife was dating Ron Goldman and they were out together. And Cato and OJ are sitting on the couch doing shots. And OJ just, he's drank too much. He's gone a little nuts. He knows in the next 15 minutes, the two of them are going to get home from a date. He says, I'm going to kill that bitch. And he pulls out a 14-inch knife. And here comes the car into the driveway. So, and everybody knows that in the next 3 or 4 minutes, those two people are going to be dead. Now, Cato Kalin is in no position to physically take the knife from OJ or whatever, but he's got a .32 in his boot. I mean, I'm making this up. But the point is, he's got a chance to shoot one guilty person to save two innocent people. And I know murder is wrong, and I know shooting a black man in the back is wrong. I mean, shooting anybody in the back is wrong. You know, but the whole point is, if you take a life to save two, seems like you're ahead. And that's why when this whole topic of torture came down to New York.
True, but what you just mentioned, though, was not torture. What it was is something that is illegal. Bottom line is, if you aim a gun at a dude, it's illegal. But it goes to trial in a jury system. And then you let people, you explain your story. Look, I was talking with this dude. He was saying this. I even, you know, started pressing record on my cell phone, so I have it here. Or if not, you just believe me. He was going to go kill them. You have to believe me. And you know what? That's what we have to have. We have to have the peer review. Yes, in our imperfect system. And you know what? Once again, I'm going to bring this up. A long time ago, and you love to bring this up, the Reagan-Dukakis argument of if someone killed your wife.
Sure.
Remember that?
Yeah.
You know me. I'm really, really anti-death penalty. It's wrong. But it may not be the most politically cool thing to say, because a lot of America, well, we're bloodthirsty idiots. So the right thing for Dukakis to say, when Reagan asked, so if someone had burst into your house and raped and killed your wife, what would you do? Say they should be rehabilitated, or whatever Reagan said, okay? Which put Dukakis into a really bad position because he had to defend his... He looked like a wimp, right?
Exactly.
You know how I would have answered that? I would have said, no. If that man had escaped, I would spend every bit of my fortune, I would spend all my time, I would hunt him down, I would kill him with my bare hands, and then I would expect to go to jail for the rest of my life for doing something so heinous.
But no jury would send him to jail.
But that's just it. That's fine. Leave it to the people, but don't put it in the laws. Death penalty bad. Don't have a death penalty. You know, I'm telling you. And don't have torture as a policy, but you and I know. It will happen. And then leave it to the consequences of the torture to then judge post. But torture is never right. But torture will happen. And leave it for others to judge later. So I've given you this new ability to say, torture's going to happen. Let's find a way to deal with it after it happens. As opposed to going in front of the argument and saying, hey, there's always a time when it may be appropriate.
You know, I think you might have accidentally said something wise. When you said torture is never right, I think everybody would agree with that. But I can envision a situation where if you're faced with three bad options, I guess it's theoretically possible that two of them are worse than torture.
Yes. And you're absolutely right. But then that should be an individual decision based on emotion, based on moment. It should never be a policy of any government or organization.
But I think we've had a meeting of the minds here that it is always wrong.
Yes, that's exactly...
The only argument left was it necessary in a certain case. And as you say, maybe a jury would have to come to that decision. But yes, I agree.
Okay.
Torture is always wrong.
There you go. Because right now we're about to get into something worse. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Did you do another shot?
I just did another shot.
Oh, so am I, damn it. Here we go. Okay. Worse than the death penalty. Worse than guns. Worse than torture. Are you ready?
Ready.
Hillary Clinton.
I hate that bitch.
Okay. First off, Bart, you're a Democrat, even though, like me, sometimes you're ashamed to be because of our party. Correct?
Right.
Wouldn't you prefer someone like Wes Clark? Or, well, no, don't compare this to Hillary right now. Leave Hillary off the table. Right now, if you could have anyone in America as the next Democratic nominee, who would you truly want?
I would probably go for Clark first.
Okay. Well, so would I. I think Clark is brilliant. He's everything we need him to be. He's not high up in the polls, but we'll talk about that in a second. Now, a lot of people have been assailing you about Hillary. And the funny thing is, I don't think you're truly pro-Hillary, as opposed to someone just throws something at you in a letter saying, oh, she sucks, she sucks, she sucks. And then you take that as a challenge and respond back saying, hey, she's hitting the polls. What are we going to do? And do you hate it when other Democrats attack her?
I think attacks are good if they're based in fact. If you say she voted this way on this bill, she voted that way on that bill, and for those reasons, I think I'm a better candidate. But the idea that vote for me because Hillary is cold and calculating and she's all about winning and she's too cunning and she's so slippery. I mean, cunning and slippery and calculating, those aren't reasons to vote against somebody. Those are traits of a winner. And politics is a game of backstabbing weasels. That's why we need somebody qualified to play the game.
Okay.
I thought of a possible analogy, but I don't know Bush, about the Tour de France.
Mm-hmm.
That Lance fella with the bike, what's his name?
Lance Armstrong. Or the new one, Floyd Landis.
Yeah. Now, if I understand the system, like America or Discovery Channel, somebody, they have a team, and Lance is like has three or four teammates, right?
Yes.
Okay, so to me, Lance and his three or four teammates are kind of like the Democrats. And the idea that one of the people on our team is the front runner, one of the people on the Democrats' team is 80 whatever lengths or 80 kilometers or something ahead of the pack. And to me, that's not a bad thing. People act like,
okay, I'm going to actually cut in here and disagree with you. Does the name Howard Dean mean anything to you?
I've recognized the name.
He was the front runner for so long in 2004. In fact, he had digits that would make Hillary Clinton blush. When they wrote that it's Howard Dean's to lose, the fact that the man was so far ahead, they were already working out the nomination for him. I mean, the guy was astronomically ahead of everyone in the polls. Now, question, do you think the media is jumping on potential presidential candidates much earlier this round than ever before?
Well, sure, every cycle gets a little earlier.
True, but this one actually has a little bit more gravitas because for the first time in a long time, the vice president isn't going to run. Because he's already been running it for 8 years.
I think they said 80 years or something. First time in 20 elections.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a sitting vice president or president or whatever the exact terminology is, but this is a new kind of election.
So there truly is going to be real primaries for both parties. I mean, this is new, and that's why the media has glommed on to try to start asking polls. And what they do is they make phone calls to thousands of people and say, hey, if it was this person, this person, this person. But then aren't the pollsters truly bringing up the names? Because everyone's got name recognition with Hillary Clinton, but they don't have it with Feingold to an extent.
I agree.
So, once again, the last election we had Howard Dean get a lot of name recognition because of his internet-based fundraising and, action. Kerry snuck in and he became another usual Democrat. He was the smart, intelligent, Northeastern Democrat that, we didn't need that.
I remember back when Dean was way, way the hell ahead in 2004. But then it seems like maybe 2 weeks before the Iowa deal, it seemed like all of a sudden his numbers were going from like 20 to 14 to 10 to 6. And I haven't heard a valid explanation of why that happened. If it wasn't for that, we could just...
I don't quite remember that.
I'm not sure about it myself, but that's the way I remember it. And it also makes me wonder, if Diebold handled the Democratic primary, would we not expect them to steer the candidate that would be easiest to smear? Now, they made Howard Dean out to be the crazy guy. Maybe Dean would have been the easier...
That happened a bit later.
Well, as a matter of fact, it happened that night. His concession speech...
He lost the presidency in Iowa because even though he was heading the polls, traditional Democrats went for something else. Now,
right, he was so big, and when he went from miles ahead to number three, he lost all the momentum.
Completely. But don't you see a little bit of a parallel here? You got Hillary. Now, I agree with you. The media is at fault here. We're building her up only because she has name recognition, and so they keep asking her name. Now, I'm hoping we don't do something stupid, like force her to this election when she's not ready. She wasn't even thinking about it. Well, she probably was, but it may be too soon because the media has to say, we got to talk about some Democrats and who could they go for? I mean, even recently, they brought back Al Gore because of his fame now with his awesome movie, An Inconvenient Truth, at theaters in major markets. Go see it. Take a Southwest airline flight. Go see the goddamn movie. I mean it. I'm being Al Gore. Actually, I'm joking. He's actually pretty damn good in it. So the media is reactionary, and they need something, and they feed upon themselves. So aren't we building up Hillary, whether she's ready or not, and more importantly, whether she can win or not? So more and more polls have her name on the top. Who would you vote for if the Democratic election primary was today? Hillary or blah, 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 or blah, blah, blah. Well, people are going to say they've only heard of two people on there, Hillary, Gore, and then the rest are what? So I think her momentum truly is a little false. I think it is artificial, and more importantly, polls have her leading in major areas against Democrats for the primary. However, those same polls have her leading in people voting against her for the general election.
I don't believe it, and I'll tell you why. Basically, what the media is trying to tell us, now all of a sudden, I don't think anybody should start trusting the media. So when the media tells us that Hillary is 20 points ahead of everybody else and she's guaranteed to lose against any Republican that's coming up, I just reject it. I say that's not going to happen.
Okay. Now, why do you say that, Bart?
There's a whole bunch of reasons. The biggest one is there's nobody on the planet that's in Hillary's position. It's wrong to compare Hillary to Dean because Dean can't turn the world around in an afternoon. If she came out tomorrow with a fire-breathing Iraq is bad speech, the shift in this country would be just massive. Hillary can cause lightning to strike the way Howard Dean never could. That's kind of the bottom line. There's no way Howard Dean could ever mobilize, you know, millions of people in 100 countries to do X and Y the way Hillary can.
That's fine. You know what? I agree with you. I agree with you. Hillary does have more power, and she has it doing what she's doing. Now, let's consider petty American politics and not the world reaction, because bottom line is Clinton... The name will get you the best of everything in the rest of the world because everyone loved Bill and, by extension, his wife. Now, take a thought about this. Right now, the polls are basically saying that so many Republicans right now are so upset and so many independents are so upset with the way the country's going. They'll vote Democrat. They'll vote any Democrat right now. All right?
Cool.
We could put a no-name up there. Right now, I'm going to say a no-name like Feingold. You know? Why not? We could put him up there. And he has a better chance beating John McCain or Giuliani than if we put someone. We need a lot of those Republican votes. And we need most of the independents. But we need a lot of Republican votes. You know, leaving out what happens with the voting machines, which is another conversation. We need Republicans to say, I hate where we're going right now. I hate the Republican Party. I'm going to switch to Democrats for this time. However, a very, very, very large amount of Republicans truly hate Hillary and won't go there. So why do you want to handicap yourself? Not you, Bart, but But why would the Democratic Party right now, knowing that technically she's just a media creation at the moment, and knowing that, you know, it truly is a social experiment in a time when we need to win more than anything else. And I want a woman president. I think they'll do better than what we've had for the last few years. But that in itself, there's a lot of men throughout America that won't vote for a woman. There's a lot of Republicans that won't vote for Hillary, and she's not necessarily energizing the Democratic base. She's not the one that Democrats are going, damn, that Hillary, she's awesome. She's, no, that's the one. Ah, no, she's got name recognition in the polls. That's the only reason why she's winning there. And so, you know, you love poker. You know, why would you handicap yourself in poker? And, you know, in polls, everyone would love a royal flush. But you see the other man's cards, and you know that the most he could possibly get is two pair. And you see the table is just right for you to win with only a slightly better hand, most of which you possess. But instead, you throw some cards away to risk it all for the royal flush because it sounds so damn good.
I think your card analogy is a good one. And in poker, generally, one guy is ahead.
Which, by the way, I don't play poker, so I don't know what I just said.
But in poker, one guy is ahead, and it's possible for the underdog to come through on the last card. That's one thing that makes poker so exciting, that, you know, there's a 2% chance you're going to win, and boom, here comes that three of clubs, the one card out of the 52 that you had to have. And so that makes it exciting. But the trick in poker, you get all your money in the pot with the best hand. And if you got a great hand up front early, that's when you scream, I'm all in, and you force the other guy to commit early.
You're right. My poker analogy only ended quickly because you took it further because you know the goddamn game. I don't. However, the thing is, can we agree that she is created by the media right now in the polls? Because they're asking the questions in these polls, who would you vote for, as opposed to who might eventually win? And as we know, the person in the polls might not be the one who actually is the primary.
I think she's ahead for good reason, but I also think that my position on Hillary is misunderstood.
That's okay.
I'm going to vote for the Democratic nominee, whoever it is, and just hope to God it's not Kerry.
Exactly.
But the thing is, a year from now, if Feingold is 20 points ahead of Hillary, I am not going to be screaming Hillary's the man. I'm going to be screaming, let's go with my man, Russ, who I am a political whore in that. I'm going with our front runner, and I just hope, you know, what we don't need is that, you know, the old quarterback controversy. What we don't need is two guys struggling, fighting it out to the very end. You know, two guys beating each other up, beating the hell out of each other. My opponent's a dirty crook. No, my opponent is a rotten bastard. We don't need all those quotes used against us in the big election in November. So whoever's ahead, let's bet on. If someone else can gain the lead, then, hey, I'm going to bet on them.
Okay, then here's me laying my cards on the table. I was going to suggest, you're right. The one thing Democrats don't need to do is downplay any other Democrat, like Hillary or Feingold or Gore, or anyone who might eventually be the one, because our words will come back to bite us on the ass. So,
and I think running fake polls that say Hillary's tracking at 0% is doing the party a grand disservice, and Karl Rove loves it.
Well, I haven't seen those polls, and if you go to pollingreport.com, they have the latest ones from most major news polls, from Fox to Diego Hotline to Gallup to CNN. You can check this out for yourself, people. Do it. It's kind of entertaining. However, do remember, it's created by the media, so they had something to talk about. Now, Bart, like I just said, we agree that talking bad about any Democrat right now is not helping our cause, right?
Right.
So the people said, you know, if you support Hillary, which you kind of do right now because she's in front of the polls. So for other Democrats to come back and start slamming her, that's not good.
Big mistake.
Okay, we got that away. Now, let's everyone take a look at this. If Hillary's in the front and you personally feel she's not the best for us, like I do, because I think more Republicans who are pissed off will vote for any Democrat, but will not vote for Hillary. And I think she will not bring out as many Democrats as her polls. You know, she's winning in Democrats, but there are a lot of people who are apathetic about her. I think she is a hindrance. But you know what? As she's out in front, I will say good things about her. But I will say much better things about the candidate I truly want to win. Because she is a handicap in our game of poker. She truly is. But I don't want to knock her down. Because there's a chance she may become our nominee. And so don't knock her down.
We're going to know a whole lot more about 08 after the 06 elections, if the Democrats grab the House and they start exposing Bush's crimes, yeah, everything could change. But the thing is, let's say we don't get the House or the Senate and it's Republicans all the way to 08. 08's going to boil down to, do you want more of the same or do you want change? And I think I could win if it got down to, do you want more of Bush and his crime spree or do you want change? I think they're going to vote for change. I think hardcore Republicans are going to vote change.
Hardcore Republicans would never vote for Hillary, but they would vote for any other Democrat. That, I think, is where if she gets elected there for artificial reasons, hell, if I was Rove, I would want her to be there because she's got everything going against her. I want a woman president. Hell, I like Clinton, but I don't want to do this right now. I really don't. I'd rather put any Democrat who doesn't have that much name recognition. Because she has name recognition, but it's not the best name recognition.
You know, I could live with that, and I imagine she could live with that. I don't see Hillary as somebody who is just going to die if she's not president. If Feingold becomes president, he'll make her Secretary of State, and she'll have a great, long, distinguished career. And when they write her obituary, I'm sure the name Monica is going to be in it, but it's not going to be, I wouldn't think, in the first paragraph if she ends up Secretary of State Clinton.
No, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. Okay, so we both agree that perhaps Hillary is a little advanced by the media right now without substance.
I didn't say that.
Well, look, like I said,
I think she's ahead for a reason.
Why?
She's got the name recognition. She's got the money. She's got the people behind her. The reason she's 20 points ahead is because she's 20 points ahead. And as far as the name recognition thing, in 1999, I saw a poll that said 30% of the people that voted for George W. Bush in their little primaries, whatever, thought they were voting for his dad. So a little name recognition is not a bad thing. Bush was the retarded son of a guy with half a brain. Hillary's the lady with a brain who was married to the guy with a brain who's going to come back as a twofer if we elect him in 08. Big party.
You know, I the thing is, Bill never fucked up. Let me qualify that statement big time, okay? You could get him into any type of speaking situation, social situation, press, government. The guy owned the House. And you know what? He owned everyone's lame ass. Hillary doesn't have that. But I'm okay with that. Neither did Gore. And Gore would have made a better president. Bottom line is, Hillary's in front right now because they need a front runner in the media. Howard Dean was in front. And personally, in that case, I think he would have been a better choice than Kerry. So, we don't know. So, what I'm proposing is that to everyone in Bartkop land, don't trash any Democrat that may eventually be running for president, but instead convince others why someone else is better. Convince them why Feingold, Clark, Gore, Biden, anyone is better, but don't trash because we need all the help we can get if we're going to beat the Diebold machines.
I like to quote my good friend James Carville. Met him back in D.C. in 04, had a party at his restaurant. Me and him negotiated terms. It was kind of cool. But the other night on Jay Leno, he said that Hillary has a reputation as a smart woman that works hard. And if you got a smart person that works hard, comparing her to what we've gone through the last, by then it'll be 8 years, should be a cakewalk, which is different than the cakewalk we didn't get in Iraq.
Well, James Carville is also the one that said that with everything going wrong the way it is, if we don't take the White House in 2004, we screwed up. So I love James Carville, and we should have won 2004, and technically we did, but I'm just letting you know. So that's Hillary. I think we agree to slightly agree on how we talk about it.
I think you like her chances less than I do, which is fine.
I do. I truly do. But you know what? I'm with you. The media shouldn't trash her because she may become the one. And if we have a handicap, which I think she is, you don't handicap the handicap. And that's what trashing Hillary right now is. You don't do it. You build up. You be positive and you put someone else out. Which, by the way, Tommy Mac is a write-in for most states. Mm-hmm. Just letting you know. Okay, Bart, we got to stop this real soon. However, I'm going to bring something up that has nothing to do with you.
Cool.
Global warming.
Wait, we got a whole nother segment to go?
Nope, this will be three sentences.
Okay.
Global warming. Now, the funny thing is my father, he's a Tory. He is so damn British. He thought Margaret Thatcher was sexy. I mean, this guy is just over the top conservative. But still, my dad.
Isn't he an evil oil man?
Yes, that's just it. He worked for Mobil Oil most of his life. In fact, I often told my friends that my life was made possible by a grant from Mobil Oil Corporation. That's right. And I had a chance to talk to him recently when he came to California for my birthday. Thanks, Tally.
That was your 40th, huh? Your 40th birthday. Congratulations on the big 4-0.
Except I'm 36, you stupid oaky motherfucker. Now, so I'd have to bring that up. Hey, global warming. My dad's a scientist. He's got a PhD in physics. He worked in geophysics. Literally, he had to do wide-angle seismology and things like that. He was a physicist. He had to find oil. So he was a scientist for the oil companies, you know, the bad guys, the ones that say, oh, global warming isn't happening, it's caused by penguin farts, or something like that. And he said, look, there's a lot of... should I do this in English accent, Bart?
Sure.
I've done a lot of shots since we've been doing this. I'm kind of tipsy here. My English accent...
it's been a long time.
I'm telling you, okay. Tommy, global warming, something is going on. Whether it is caused by mankind, we do not know. Don't spit your Guinness beer out at me. Let me explain. The science is not there. It truly isn't, because mankind doesn't have the technology and the time to prove this is happening because of their own measure. I'm sorry, I have to be honest, I'm a scientist, that's what you do. However, something is happening, and by the time we prove that it was caused by us, it will be too late. We'll have fucked ourselves. But the bottom line is, whether or not we're causing this to happen, putting that much carbon dioxide into the atmosphere every day can't be good. And you know what? That's what my dad said. He's a scientist for the oil corporations. He said, look, something is happening. Are we causing it? Probably. But we don't have the proof we're causing it. But by the time we get the proof we're causing it, we're fucked. And no matter what, putting this much carbon dioxide into any ecosystem, that ain't right. And so that's when I realized that there are some good people on the other side that get it, Bart. That truly get it. And so that's why you and I joined in this conversation today, to bridge the gap, to truly get it.
In tribute to your dad.
I'm telling you, hey, shot?
Bingo. Here we go.
Here we go. Well, hey, to all the Barcart listeners, thank you for our masturbatory section here. This was something that I think had to happen, because Bart is truly one of the greatest gifts that we have in the blogosphere and on the liberal part. You may not agree with him, but trust me, he agrees with you. That's right. Bart loves you. Bart loves you more than you know. And you can go to bed every night on your soft white pillow knowing that you have Bart love. God, I feel gay right now. Okay, so Bart, do you have any last words for this diatribe?
Well, I'd just like to reiterate one more time that it's so nice to have August gone, but all through August and for the first 7 days of September, I continued to get the magic corn, that Olathe Colorado corn they kept. I don't know why, never happened before. I've been in Oklahoma 30 years this summer. And for the first time, we've had good corn. I mean, excellent corn up to the first week of September. And I'm shocked. But it was good for me. So, hey, as bad as August was, it did have a silver lining to it.
Bart, Jesus Christ. We just talked about death penalty, guns, torture, Hillary Clinton, and global warming. And you go straight to corn? God damn you, Oak Ruby. I love you.
Corn, poker, and tequila. That's what it's all about.
All right, to everyone going to Vegas for Bart Fest or whatever we're calling it. Hope to see you there. And Bart, this has been really fun. And by the way, I'd like to point out that I've been impressed. Ladies and gentlemen, Bart's been producing his own shows recently. I've not touched them one bit. So it's all been Bart for the last show and a half or two or three. So there you go. Bart's growing up. He's going to ditch me like a small animal that he got bored with.
I've enjoyed the conversation, and I'm looking forward to the big party in Vegas next weekend. It'll be a week from tomorrow.
I'll see you there. And by the way, Bart, I'd like to point out that I've gotten so much mileage from your comment. I go to all of my friends, clients, and then say, hey, Bush is such a bad president. Not only did he lose New Orleans, he lost Pluto.
Well, thank you, Tom.
All right, everyone out in Bard Cop Radio, thanks for listening to the Diet Tribe. Hopefully, Bart and I will do something like this again, or hopefully not. You have a great day, great evening, great weekend, great whatever. And this is Tommy Mac in Los Angeles.
And Bartster in Oklahoma.
We'll talk to you later. Don't make it shake.